Shalom Aleichem. Welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos, Parshas Emor, and of course, Lag BaOmer, which is this coming Sunday. I'd like to mention two Divrei Halacha in regard to Lag BaOmer. First of all, because Lag BaOmer falls on Sunday, the Ramah brings the custom of Ashkenazim, that those of us who would normally take a haircut or shave on Sunday may do so, seems to be even preferable to do so, on Erev Shabbos, so that shaving or taking a haircut is mutter on Erev Shabbos. The second halacha, regarding music and dancing on Motzoi Shabbos, the night of Lag BaOmer. According to our minhag, to keep Bira until Lag BaOmer, music and dancing is still awesome on Motzoi Shabbos. The frequent places where they have bonfires with music and dancing is not like the Ramah. The Ramah says that it's still offer on the night of Lag BaOmer. If you ask, so why do people do it? Well, those chassidim who keep the minhag Arizal, and they keep the chumras of Sfira all the way till Shavuos. For them, the entire Lag BaOmer is mutter. And even the night of Lag BaOmer is mutter. Because they are keeping the 33 days without counting Lag BaOmer. And for them, music is mutter. On the contrary, those who keep the minhag Arizal are not allowed to have music and dancing on Lamed Talad BaOmer, that is, on Sunday night. And if they want to have a night celebration, they have to have a Motzoi Shabbos. For those of us who keep Sfira only until Lag BaOmer, that's the prevalent minhag, certainly among Ashkenazim, keep Sfira until Lag BaOmer, and after that, the whole that music, haircuts, and weddings are mutter. We are prohibited from music and dancing the night of Lag BaOmer, that is, on Motzoi Shabbos, we're permitted to do it on Sunday night. So this is a mistake that many people make. They go Motzoi Shabbos to music and dancing, and then they start their makel after Lag BaOmer, music and dancing as well. And that's a Tarti Dispassi. You got to choose one or the other. Let's start the Parshas Emor. I'd like to share with you a Devar Halach. What is the source for minyan? The idea of minyan being 10 people. Believe it or not, it's Makar is in this week's parasha. We read in the parasha, V'leis ha'chalalu ha'shem kodshi, v'miktashti b'slech b'nei Yisrael. We have the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. To be mekadesh Hashem b'slech b'nei Yisrael. Now, how many people is b'slech b'nei Yisrael? It doesn't say. You know, there's an idea of Kiddush Hashem before Hesbiel, public Kiddush Hashem. But how many people make it into something public? The Gemara said, Hedron daf ayin dalet on the day is learned through a limud, the two-step limud from Kairach and then the Meraglim, that Malahalan Astara, Aftan Astara. Just like the Meraglim in the case of the dinners of the Meraglim, what then? The same thing here, you need 10 people to make minyan b'sfer hesed. So this is the idea that we have minyan being 10. Now that's in regard to being the Kaddishim Shemayim, the rabbi. The Gemara in Brachis, Kaf Aleph, extends this to the idea of minyan in davening. So that this is the source of the minyan Asara. Rav Moshe has a number of tshuvas regarding the following Shaila, and these tshuvas have to do with the source of minyan, as we've explained. Rav Moshe was asked whether a Mechal Shabbos, and was a mummer, can count towards 10 people in minyan. Or do you have to have 10 people who are Shomer Shabbos, who are religious people? Rav Moshe says, well, let's look at the Gemara. The Gemara says we learn minyan from the Meraglim. And the Gemara goes on to say, maybe a non-Jew should count towards minyan. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Ayin Daled. Maybe a non-Jew should count towards minyan. So the Gemara responds that it's not so. You need Dunya de Meraglim, similar to the 10 Meraglim from whom we're learning, the same thing here, and therefore a guy, a non-Jew, does not count towards me. Says Ramesh. So the Gemara is saying that non-Jews don't count towards me. So you need the Meraglim. The Meraglim were Rishoyim, and yet they are counted to the 10. The Gemara says, you need the Meraglim. And therefore a mummer, someone who is not a firm person, still could count towards me. And this is Ramesh's knock, although Rav Moshe stresses that when you're making minyan in this manner, you should not say Chazar Sashat. That is, enough to be makel on this kula to say Kaddish and Baruch Hu. but an extra 19 brachas not. And therefore say what we call a short shmein esrei when counting a non-form person towards me. This is from Rashi's not based on this limud. It's interesting. Then in the second Igros Moshe, Rachaim, where Moshe was challenged. He was challenged by a questioner who brought to him the talk of Rav Moshe Rosen, who said that a non-form person doesn't count the minyan for Musaf, because we don't accept karbanos from people who are not from. The karban Musaf cannot be counted as a minyan towards karban Musaf, can't be counted if a form of prior person is included. Rav Moshe responds, on the contrary, from Rav Moshe Rosen's talk regarding Musaf, we see that otherwise he would hold that a non-form person does come to his minyan. It's only Musaf where it's a din of karbanos. The karbanos are not brought from a mumer. There, a mumer doesn't count. But otherwise, he does count. Rashi has a third letter, Eilat Gimel. There, someone challenged Rav Moshe from the Shlach HaKadosh, who says that the Meraglim was tzaddikim. And they were tzaddikim, we can't learn from there to count towards minyan, even a rush. And to that, Rav Moshe essentially responds that that's not Pashtun Pshat. Pashtun Pshat, when you read the Chumash, that the Meraglim were Rishon. If they had done Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not punish them, because Tshuva works for Einish Pidei Shemayim. And therefore, Rav Moshe stands by his Shita, that a person who is not from can still count towards the Meraglim. That there is Tshuva in the Rishayim, who disagrees with this fact, and holds that a not from person does not count towards being. And either way, my point is this is a limud from the parsha of this discussion. Let me move on to a different muster. In the beginning of the parsha, we have the rule of a kohen is not allowed to be metame. And a kohen, as you were told, is allowed to be metame to his relatives. In the long language of the pasuk, ki im l'she'eira yakare de'lov. Two, what is she'eirai? Rashi says, uishtai. That he's allowed to be metame to his wife. And the pasuk says, the other of the seven relatives as well. I like to discuss the idea of she'er being a wife. Rashi says, ain she'eirai elayishtai. The word she'er refers to a wife. Now that comes from Teres Kainim, from the Medrash. The Medrash says two more words. Ain she'eirai elayishtai, she'nema, She'er Avichahi. As it says, She'er Avichahi. It says, he's Yantif, Yantif Zavah Zastra, the beginning of Parashas, brings this Medrash, and he says, Divrei Teimahim. He says, this is a Pella. She'er means a wife. She'nema She'er Avichahi. The pasuk She'er Avichahi appears in the Parsha of Arayah. She'er there means a sister. We're talking about the prohibition against marrying your father's sister. And the pasuk says, She'er Avicho, there She'er means a sister. And the Tzitzis Yantar says, how does the Teres Kainim seem to understand She'er to mean a wife? And in the language of the Tzitzis Yantar, Tzarech Nagar, Ubar Nagar, the Lifrikei, you need a real expert to figure out this one, a tough cash. Let's assume we do an answer which doesn't both compare to Nima, and actually is written more clearly in the Sefer HaKstav V'HaKabal. These sources, they say that the word She'er does not literally mean wife. As a matter of fact, the HaKstav V'HaKabal brings from the Gra, from the Vilna Gaon, that the Vaday Lashon She'erai Hainu She'er B'Sarai V'lo Yishtai. The word she'er means someone connected to your flesh. So that a sister is she'er, connected to your flesh. And it doesn't literally mean a wife. Why then here do we say she'erai zuishtai? Do we say, the pasuk says, im l'she'erai hakarei ve'lov. This flesh was closest to him. Closest? Yeah, that's a wife. So that the word she'er implies that someone is from the same flesh. Now, we understand that blood relatives can be called from the same flesh. What about a wife? A wife is the same flesh. A wife comes from a different parent. And the answer is, is that She'er is from the idea of a Hayu Lebasar Echad, that they are actually one. Husband and wife are one. And in that way, the idea of She'era is no Ishtai is important. She'era, your wife, the language of the Rashbam, the Urim Bava Basra, Daf Kaf Tes. She'era is no Ishtai could exist. V'hayu Lebasar Echad. The Rashbam is saying the Ishtai, that the Torah Tmima and the Ksava Kabbalah say, that She'er is an idea of being one, of oneness. And therefore, She'er is an idea of oneness, a sense of oneness that husband and wife need to have, one with the other. There's an interesting Hagos Mordechai in the beginning of Mishnah Tzuvos. Hagos Mordechai was asked whether it's proper that Oros V'Arus Dosai, a man and woman who plan to be married, whether they're allowed to live in the same house. To that, of course, Mordechai responds that they should not live in the same house. Even if they're planning to be married, they should not live in the same house. And he brings two reasons. He says, one, the Isur Yichud is a problem. And Talab Lebracha Asur Levaila, and there's an Isur Yichud. And secondly, and this is where it becomes interesting, he says that it's not good for a couple that are engaged to be married to spend time living together. Even Sharaya Oisa Tadira Yavir Lestaina. He could tell they spin a him. He says if they're going to live together and spend too much time together, they're going to end up fighting. They're going to end up, a very strong lush, Yavir Lestaina. They'll come to hate each other. They'll be fighting. And he brings, Vayapel Hashem Lekim Tardema Al Ha'adam. Because he's one who prepared Chava for a wedding. Adam was sleeping. And this idea is brought in the Ramah, in Eben Ezra, Simin Nun Hei. Shema Yadiru Yachad, Shema Yakutu Zevizeh. The Ramah says, Bas and Kala shouldn't live in one home, because they may come to despise one the other. And I believe this is the way the custom comes. That when a chasen or a Kala come to the partner's family for Shabbos, the Kala comes to the chasen's family, and the chasen stays, he speaks in a different home. And this is a sport. Now here, there's an obvious question. We're afraid for them to live together in the same house because they'll have too much of each other and they'll come to hate each other. What are you talking about? Better they should find out before they're married than after they're married. They're about to get married. If they can't be happy living in the same house, they should find out now. Isn't that a plea? The answer lies in the words of the Hagos Mordechai. Two men, or rather a man and a woman, live together in the same house. Certainly they'll come to disagreements. Certainly they'll get on each other's nerves. Marriage only works because there's a sense of share. There's a sense of basar echad. There's an idea of permanence. There's an idea of making it work. Once a couple is married and in the same house, assuming the sensible people who have feelings for each other, they'll be able to make it work. The problem is, before they're married, if they're going to be together, and there's no sense of permanence, it ain't going to work. It's not going to happen. It's not going to end up being able to work because it just doesn't work. Ahava is gematria echad. Ahava requires that there be a sense of oneness. There's a sense of trying it out to be sure that it's not going to work. That's important to study to understand the key to the Shalom Bayis in the home. It's not for husband and wife never to get on each other's nerves, never to do things that the other doesn't like. Normal that these things happen. The key, rather, is to have a sense of oneness, a sense of She'er, She'er Yakar of the love, a sense of Basar Echad. When there's a sense of Basar Echad, it works. I love to say over what's put in the Aleinu L'Shaveach of Parshas Mitzrayim. When Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the wife, passed away, he said it to Levaya that I have nothing to ask my wife this kilo for. It moved everybody. The husband, married more than 60 years, to say there's nothing for which I have to ask the kilo. Very moving. That part of the story, I think, is rather well known. It's the second part. The Leila Shabbat brings that a while later, one of Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach Talmid, the newlywed, came to his wife, came rather to Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach and told him, we're married for such and such a period of time, and we've never had an argument, never had a disagreement. He meant to say that I'm following in your footsteps. on the phone and answered. He said, you've never had a disagreement with her? Are you divorced? Did she die? The young man was bewildered. Fisher Shimon Zalman Auerbach replied, it's not normal for a couple that's married never to have a disagreement, never to argue over anything. For that, you don't have to ask them a steward. As long as you treat each other with respect when you disagree, that's fine. But to say you'll have a home and the goal is to never disagree, that's not possible. I think all of us married folks will agree we're on this moment or about, right? It's not possible. And work towards She'era Yakore Ve'emav, the greatest that's necessary. And with that, I wish everybody an absolutely wonderful Shabbos, Astrelecha Lag Ba'emer, and don't forget, we're supposed to be preparing for Kabbalah's Matar.